Just seeing Roger do this dance is just incredible.
What is this?
Apache? You don't know this one?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, Sugar Hill Gang?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Never heard it.
And suddenly, you understand Roger even more. Okay.
Yes.
Well, we've been talking a little bit about this money that's left over for the state of Michigan, and Andy, who was on the phone earlier, decided to give us a buzz back. Andy, you're with us once again. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate you letting me on. I apologize for the drop call. Hey, you know, I think, first of all, we should probably do the American thing and form a committee and then sit down and form a few study groups. And by that time, we should be down to half of what we have to spend.
Maybe we could get lobbyists involved in helping
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. Hey, you know,
Andy,
you're
forgetting one thing with this idea.
What's that?
Focus groups.
Focus groups. Absolutely. Focus groups. Yeah.
Do anything without that.
Hey, you know, actually, I called for a little education. Hopefully you can supply that to me. With $1 billion, let's just give the listeners some idea of what could be done with that in terms of projects for our road. What's our annual fund per year for our roads and highways in Michigan?
We have our producer working on that as we speak, Andy.
I'm just kind of curious to see exactly what I would get, what kind of bang I would get for the buck in what department.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean,
well,
before we made a decision.
How can you decide what to do with it until you see what the investment will return?
You got
to
know the price
tag. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you want a good ROI on this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, if we could have really good roads and get ahead of the curve and... Oh, I didn't even think of that.
He's such a comedian. He'll be here till 5 o'clock.
Don't eat the chicken. Have we made any progress, Derek?
Nope, I'm actually still looking it up right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all right. I mean, would this equate to, say, every student in Michigan having an iPad? Or would this equate to... Oh, geez, I don't know. Would it equate to, you know, another 2,000 miles of new road in the state of Michigan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, just an idea to see what we have, what we're getting.
You know, Andy, I think you're onto something there in terms of, you know, because when we hear these numbers, $1 billion, 1.3 or whatever it is, I don't know about you, but my eyes start to glaze over. You sit there and kind of think, I have no idea. Well, I've never seen that much money.
Unless you're the federal government, and then this is just pocket
change.
Yeah,
I mean, they can spend that in a minute, you know.
Well, I don't think the average person has a concept of the ability to what kind of power that kind of money has.
I think that's true. Well, I'll tell you what, Andy, we're going to keep looking up these facts for you. Keep listening, and we'll see if we can
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate your time.
Have a good one.
All right.
Thanks. We'll see ya.
So Andy is wondering, and I think rightly so. I mean, you kind of sit there and think, oh, gosh, what kind of...
Calculate return on investment.
Yeah, what would that buy?
Yeah, what are we going to get for the money?
What's your $1.1 billion buy?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Apparently, you know, I don't know. Maybe you can get a bomber or something with it. You know, I don't know. Do we need a bomber in the state of Michigan?
Well, you know, I don't know. We could reduce Indiana's competitiveness.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we'll go and attack a neighboring state.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Yeah,
I'm just thinking.
Just, you know, if we do get a bomber, don't put it in the hands of the people in Ann Arbor. You don't want to see what happens to Columbus after
that. Well, you know, that's how we got the UP, is we declared war on Ohio to get Toledo. And Michigan won. We got the UP, and Ohio had to keep Toledo.
Well, you know, I think it was one of those deals where they gave Ohio Toledo, but in retrospect, an awful lot of people in Ohio want to give it back. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But let's head back to the phones here. Anna's on the line from Battle Creek. Welcome.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I believe that the infrastructure and education should be at the top of the list with the surplus. I do think that another option that should be put on the table would be rehabilitation for inmates that will be entering our society in, you know, due time.
Okay. That's a new idea. Do you have anything specific in mind for rehab? For
well, I don't. Therapy for one. You know, if they could get in and talk with a counselor, some type of. I know that most of them have to go through some type of classes to even qualify for parole.
Mm-hmm.
But in the state of Michigan, as far as I know, and I may be wrong, an inmate does not qualify for any type of therapy or classes until they're 18 months before their out date. And for somebody that may have been in there for 10 and a half or 20 years, it just seems like it's a little bit cut short for an hour a week before they get out.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you know of any states that you think do a good job with this that we could emulate?
I don't. I wish
okay.
I did.
Okay.
I need to do some research on that.
Nope, just
but
was
I just
curious.
Felt from a personal standpoint that it could have been helpful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing your idea.
You're welcome. You folks have a good day.
Well, thank
okay.
you.
Thanks,
too.
Anna. I appreciate that. You know, that was an idea that that has not been brought up to this point, but an interesting one. Maybe even particularly for some of those that have been in prison for a little while, they're set to get out some job training.
Because
absolutely. If you've been in there for a little while, you're going to be out of date when you get out.
You know, especially people who were in for nonviolent crimes,
mm-hmm.
drug possession, for instance,
mm-hmm.
Giving them some job skills so when they get out, they have something to lose.
Mm-hmm.
If they get back into the drug scene.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a darn good idea.
Certainly. 382-4280 is our phone number. You can give us a call and share your ideas. 877-382-4280. What we're talking about, if you missed out earlier, the state of Michigan is expected to take in somewhere between $1.1 to $1.3 billion more this coming year. There's been some different ideas tossed around. Governor Snyder's talking about a rebate for taxpayers. Speaker Bulger is talking about a tax cut, an income tax cut. There's other things coming up like, hey, what about schools? What about roads? What about school safety? Different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the money should be spent on? We'd love to hear your ideas on this. Because you know what? When it comes down to it, it's our state. It's our money. We ought to have a say in it.
How about if the investing in schools was making the buildings more energy efficient to save?
The investment that gives back. Why not?
Yeah, that will pay back and allow more money to be used for education
mm-hmm.
in the future.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have to admit with some buildings, some school buildings. Now, there's some new school buildings going. I just saw one today, actually. But there's older school buildings out there that it would take a good bit of money to make energy efficient.
Well,
so,
then we need
to. You know, and it comes down to a school-by-school basis.
Yeah,
but,
and
yeah.
If it's better to tear the building down, that's what they did at the Washington Writers Academy,
mm-hmm.
is they tore down the old building. They moved all the kids to a different building for
mm-hmm.
a year while the new one is being built.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we need to do this on a return on investment basis. Some buildings just need to be done away with. But sure. Others, for a few bucks, we could make much more efficient.
And save us money down the line, which we could take and spend on something else.
Well, and make the world a little better place, a little less carbon in the atmosphere.
You know, plants enjoy carbon. I just want to mention that. Let's go to Paul on the phone. Paul from Vicksburg, welcome to the program. Glad you're with us.
Hey, Roger, do you still have your ponytail?
No.
No. Okay, I wouldn't recognize you then.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm still the same jolly fat guy I was.
Oh, this is Paul Moberly, and we know you.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Paul.
We know you from your business and from Upjohn. And
yeah. Now I look a lot like I did then.
Oh, my goodness sakes. That's because all those nice roast beef dinners down there at the
River Lake Inn.
River Lake Inn at the Hummingbird place.
Hey, yeah.
Roger, I just think when you look at this, there's a lot of good reasons. I just think take the top three and split it equally, roads, schools, and pension. and then you're going to satisfy everybody some and do some good, and everybody, you know, politically, everybody will have answered their constituents.
Yeah. Everybody benefits from better roads, businesses.
Yeah, but I just think right away, instead of everybody having one extreme or the other, let's suggest that they be politically correct, and they split it three ways, and each of the three groups can determine their action plan for how they're going to do the best with the money they got.
Good idea, Paul.
Paul, do you think we'll be able to get there? I mean, will they be able to make that kind of a deal in Lansing?
Well, I think you guys are the communicators. You can begin to get the idea out. You talk to all the various representatives. They talked to Stabenow this morning. You get Upton in. You get the other candidates. I think get around. There's something for everybody. They can all have togetherness and have their sing, oh, Kumbaya, or whatever the song is around the fire.
Kumbaya.
Yeah. Kumbaya.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Kumbaya. I knew musically, Roger, you were.
Hey, yeah, thanks,
you
Paul.
Should hear him sing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to hear Roger sing. But I can always turn the radio down if it's too bad.
Well, later in the show, I'll burst into song at some point.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
I'll burst into unconsciousness.
See, you can't turn the radio down.
Yeah, he's trapped in here. Thanks, Paul.
All right. So, and that's an interesting point that he brings up there, too. Because, and I think you'll see a lot of wrangling over this.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think the other thing to bring up is it's an election year. And that's going to make it even harder because there's going to be an awful lot of positioning of, you know what? I wanted to give the money back to you. I wanted to do this. But those evil fill-in-the-blanks, whether they be Democrats or Republicans, want to do this.
Right.
You know, so you'll hear some of that likely.
Right.
Sadly.
And then they will be pressured by the senior people in their party on both sides to go along with the leadership's plan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it won't matter so much what an individual representative or senator's thoughts are. They'll go along with what the big kahuna says we need to do.
Well, no doubt they knew this was going to take place, and the leadership has been hard at work coming up with whatever that plan is. Hey, you know what? We could spend $1 billion doing this.
Boy, that's right up a politician's alley.
You know, you're saying, hey, here's some free money.
Ooh.
Okay. Never met free money I didn't like.
Right.
So
and it doesn't matter what party you're talking about. Politicians like money. How they would spend it might differ, but they all like to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, I think they all like those foreign junkets and trips places too, because
they
keep happening. It doesn't matter which party you come from,
right?
But, so, will that happen here? No, I doubt it. They'll spend it on something because it's a little closer to us. I think we can catch these guys.
We'll see.
On the federal level, it would be
near
impossible. You know.
That gets more
and if
complicated.
There, if there was $1 billion on the federal level, they wouldn't even blink.
Wouldn't get anybody's attention.
We'll spend that on paper clips for the White House.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know. But
well, what's the old cliche? $1 billion here, $1 billion there.
Yeah,
and pretty
yeah.
soon you're talking about real money.
Yeah, pretty soon. Well, we're going to continue ahead. Of course, you're part of the program, too. Whatever we're talking about, feel free to give us a call at 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 as the program continues. Roger knows this one.
Yeah.
His needs are simple, a beat and something he knows.
Yes.
So.
That's all I need in life. Well, and a beer once in a while.
Yeah, but, those are sort of nice sometimes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, we had a caller, I believe was it Andy that called in earlier that asked for some information?
Well, I think so.
I think it was Andy,
he wanted
yes.
to put it all into roads, but he wanted to know what $1 billion in road repairs
mm-hmm.
would
mm-hmm.
buy.
So we asked our producer, Derek, to help us out here in terms of, well, Derek, you looked up the numbers, so hit us with them.
Okay, well, from this thing that I found here, it looks like an estimated $350 million more will be spent on road repairs, okay, thanks mainly to an unexpected surplus in the current year's budget. And then originally they were trying to raise an additional $1.2 billion, which is close to what we're talking about here. Uh-huh. But they failed at doing that. So, and that's the information I found for that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So what was the first figure? How much more money is being spent?
For roads, it's $350 million.
But okay, apparently that $350 million is buying less than it did in previous years.
Yes.
Because we just saw the MDOT that there's going to be fewer construction projects mm-hmm. this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
of course, it could be fewer but higher quality. I don't know.
Bigger projects in some other
could
part
be.
Of the state.
Yeah.
I guess we.
So, all right. Thanks, Derek. Appreciate the number crunching there for us.
But we could certainly make a dent in the quality of our roads and get us up more in the middle of the pack would be nice, not to be 47th or 48th in the country.
Well, moving on from that, because we've been talking about this a lot, spending $1 billion, and bottom line, our representatives will come up with something. And if we don't like it, we can always vote for somebody else, I suppose.
Well, I'm still thinking sending it to me.
Yeah, you know, I'm for something similar, but it involves me. Sadly, that's not going to happen for either one of us. So
that's
we're stuck
true.
With each other for
yeah.
a while.
But, we'll be here working.
There you go. But speaking of working, that is one thing that continues to be an issue for this country. And we saw numbers come out for the December job numbers. A lot of people thought they would be a lot better. I mean, they mm-hmm. were projecting somewhere in the neighborhood of 200,000 new jobs, which is still not terrific, you know, with a number like that. But they're saying the job gains for the month of December, 74,000. And I think to put that in the words of, Joe Scarborough from MSNBC, he says, mm-hmm. that's pathetic. That's awful. Something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were universal in saying it was pretty bad even there. So if they said it's there, you know it's bad. Now, the unemployment rate went down from, I think it was like from 7% to 6.7%. But the one thing that absolutely bothers me about the unemployment rate is it doesn't really accurately measure what's going on. Because it sounds great if you go, oh, unemployment fell. Good. But if you look at where we are as far as labor force participation, we're at the same level that we were in 1978. And there's more people in the world now.
Yes, more people in our country
mm-hmm.
now.
So there's a lot more people not working. They're saying that people not in the labor force has gone to 91.8 million, which is not good. They're also saying for women, 20,000 fewer women held jobs during the month of December. So all the way around, it's not looking good.
Yeah. What did it say why women were impacted?
Let me take a look through the facts here. They were talking about has to do with the labor force participation rate for women, which was at, I think they said 56.9%, which was down from 57%.
Oh, okay.
So they ran the numbers based on those and came up with the 20,000. And I guess that was based on Bureau of Labor Statistics, which were released along with the unemployment rate and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless, there's an awful lot of numbers that are saying not so good. And the thing that I'm curious about, as we go along, we look at this sort of thing, we've got an awful lot of politicians, particularly the commander-in-chief himself, who said he was looking at jobs, he's focused on jobs and that kind of thing. I don't know. And unless the jobs are in something I can't see and the rest of us can't see as participation, something's not happening.
Well, a lot of it is the sequestration and the fact that hundreds of thousands of government workers have entered who have become unemployed. What, about 600,000 jobs have been eliminated because of cuts. And so some of the fact that that takes money out of the economy. And if those people don't have incomes, they're not supporting the economy either.
Well, and you got to think some of it, too, has to do with laws that have been passed recently. You've got Obamacare. It's causing people to say, well, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to hire or not.
But that's been proven to be false.
By who? We've seen people that lost their job over that.
We have not. We'll talk about that coming up after news.
Sure.
Thirty-six degrees on your drive home this afternoon. Weather brought to you by Asthma Allergy Centers of Southwest Michigan. For the office nearest you, visit asthmaallergycenters.com.
Yeah, I think with the temperatures getting warmer, there's an awful lot of people that would like to be associated with bringing that weather to you.
Yes, yes.
I'm the one bringing you the warmer weather, so you'd instantly be crowned king.
Yeah, the poor people who brought the weather on Monday.
Yeah, we feel for them.
I'm never going to shop there. Look at the weather they brought me.
But I tell you what, why not? Asthma Allergy Centers? Sure.
Yeah.
We'll give them credit for that. I'm sure they'll take it. So, for the good stuff.
Yes,
anyway.
Yes.
So, I tell you, the numbers that came out today, and I think universally, with maybe the exception of the White House, people are reacting and saying, okay, the numbers that we're seeing on, you know, the unemployment and that kind of thing, they're just not that good. The unemployment rate goes from 7% to 6.7. Okay, that sounds good.
But
labor participation actually dropped. That's the number of the people that are actually participating in the workforce, either by working or looking for work.
Mm-hmm.
It's down to 154.9 million, which is at a level of 62.8%, down from 63%. Hasn't seen levels like this since 1978.
Explain to me the logic, Jeremy, of people who are so frustrated looking for work and have been looking just not successful, they finally just give up. And we no longer consider them unemployed at that point.
Apparently not.
They don't have jobs. They're not working. And yet we don't consider them unemployed. You have to be looking for work. Mm-hmm. Then we'll count you as unemployed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you're totally bummed out, can't get together to send out any more resumes, nope, you're no longer unemployed. You just don't have a job and no income.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not unemployed anymore.
See, I don't understand that because they report on this, the unemployment figure, and it sounds a lot lower than it really is.
Oh, yeah.
I read somewhere in and among all these articles that I have that the actual unemployment rate or that includes underemployment and that kind of thing, I think you call it the U6 or whatever it is, it's at 13.1.
Oh, yeah.
Which shows that, you know what, we've got a real issue on our hands out there.
Somebody with a PhD in physics who can't find a job has two part-time jobs, and they're not considered unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not doing anything with the education they've got. They're not making a decent living, but they're not unemployed because they've got their gig at McDonald's and then they can work at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting there with like a master's degree or doctorate or something like that and you're wrangling shopping carts, you're not doing it full time. You're not getting paid very much. Even if you were working full time, you're not getting paid much.
Right.
So you're looking, without a doubt, but no.
We don't count you.
That's not part of the affected by the economy, you know, unemployed, whatever.
Yeah.
That's not part of the figures. That's always bothered me.
Well, I go back.
I think it really just kind of sells a lie to the American people, regardless, because both parties have pulled this over the course of time. And
yeah, this wasn't invented this week.
No, no, this has been going for quite a while.
For years, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, to see the numbers do what they're doing, and particularly you think about, you know, because December, this is a month where you get people that are hired for certain jobs. Just, you know, they hire these temporary workers, and then
yeah.
After the holidays, they keep them on and that kind mm-hmm. of thing. You're not seeing near as much of that. It's a little disturbing if you think about it, because that means, might be in for a little more rough road ahead.
Yeah, January may be really ugly as those
and not just with the weather either.
Yes, those people who had the temporary jobs over the holidays go back to being unemployed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, this is interesting because it was something that Jeff Sessions from Alabama said. He's the senator from there,
mm-hmm.
Talking about. And he ran the numbers and said, you know, with the economy adding 74,000 jobs, not nearly enough to keep up with population, and 347,000 left the workforce, he's saying that for every one job added, nearly five people left entirely, which is disturbing. Now, granted, some of them that left the workforce retired. You can make that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the other part of it is, you know what? There's some jobs disappearing, and if we're not keeping up with population growth, we got a problem, and it's getting bigger.
Absolutely. And that's been our problem. That didn't start we've been up around 200,000 for a year or longer, mm-hmm. 15, mm-hmm. 16 months. But you're right. At this anemic pace,
mm-hmm.
Unemployment, especially in Michigan, where we're still at 9%,
mm-hmm.
It's a long road back to get people to work. And without people in the economy, we're going to continue to see more and more businesses flounder. Look at what's happening to Sears and Penny's.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We just don't have the consumer demand that's gotten us out of previous recessions.
And you mentioned Sears. I mean, think cumulatively of what's happened to Kmart over the last decade and a half. I mean, you know, there's a company that was going from, yeah, we're doing okay, to, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And then they went from that to, well, we're doing pretty good. Uh-oh.
Yeah. And now all of Sears is going, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
And and this is going to continue until there is, we have a consumer-driven economy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And without consumers, we're going to muddle along like this for quite some time.
But what can we do to solve the problem? And that's the question, really. What can we do to make things better than what they are? Love to get your thoughts on it. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. These are the numbers you call to get in to the show today and chat with us about this. You know, there's a lot of different things. And I know, Roger, you brought up infrastructure and that kind of thing as a way to bring some jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I think in some ways, I mean, you know, that's part of it. But I think there's other parts of it in that you've got an awful lot of things that are in the way of companies being able to say, you know, all right, I'm feeling good about the economy now. I know things are going to be looking up. I know things are getting better. I don't see that in a situation where you've got a 2,000-page healthcare law that we've all got to comply with, and companies are going, well, great. What does this do to the economy? What does this do to people? I mean, that's brought so much uncertainty to so many people. I mean, things like that, I think, all right, if we're going to keep this thing around, at least let's fix this thing so it works.
But, Jeremy, studies have shown that the only sector of the economy that actually lost jobs because of Obamacare is the restaurant industry. One of the biggest components in the non-hiring that took place in December was construction workers.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And in the great bulk of the economy, Obamacare is not. What businesses are uncertain of is what consumer demand is going to be. Are there going to be people, if they gear up and produce more product, will they be able to sell it to somebody?
Well, what about the medical industry? We've seen it right here in town, jobs being cut due to the Affordable Care Act. So, I mean, your studies can sit there and say, well, it's the restaurant industry. That's fine. Studies have their point. But when it comes down to it, there are people that are in the sound of my voice right now that don't have a job that had one before, and it's because of Obamacare. You don't need a study to find that out.
Okay, but there's also people who now have jobs because of Obamacare.
Really? Where?
The insurance companies have geared up mm-hmm. for the new customers they're getting because of the...
You mean the new customers that they're not getting because healthcare.gov
doesn't work? We've signed up over 1 million people so far. The insurance companies have had to gear up for that additional business.
How many millions were dropped off of their coverage that have no coverage because of the Affordable Care Act?
Well, you're... Tell me, if you know the numbers, share them with me.
Not right in front of me. I did have them the other week, though.
Okay.
I'll have to look through the other
I don't
records,
have them
but,
either. But, I, think
I did
this,
share them a couple of weeks
this
ago.
This has
anyway.
To go far beyond Obamacare. I think that's overly simplistic to say, the reason the December job numbers were bad was because of that Obamacare.
And I think you're misrepresenting what I'm saying. I'm saying that is an example of something that gets in the way. I think there's a lot more somethings that get in the way hiring in this country than just Obamacare. I'm saying that's one thing that we could focus our attention on that would right now fix some problems in this country.
If businesses thought they had customers, they would be gearing up to serve them. The uncertainty they're facing is there going to be people who can buy our products that we're producing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's uncertainty.
Let's hear from Jerry in Plainwell. Jerry, you're with us. Go right ahead.
Hi there. Let me dispel some misinformation there. The Health Care Act may have 2,000 pages in it, but it only has about 250,000 words, which is about the same number of words in a Harry Potter book.
But the Harry Potter book is a lot more understandable.
Not necessarily. It's an eighth grade education to read the Health Care Act. But to say it's got 2,000 pages and wave 2,000 pages in the air is a misnomer and is misleading to everybody out there.
Were there 2,000?
The kid can read a Harry Potter book.
Were there 2,000 pages in the act?
That's not the point. The number
answer the question. Were there 2,000 pages
in the
act?
You say there was, there was. Some of them only had like 5 or 6 words on them. Or a heading, a topic.
Graphs. There was all sorts of information included that took up space that aren't words.
Right.
That's what Jerry is trying to say, Jeremy.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not the 2,000 pages. You make it sound like it's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming.
No, it isn't.
Show me a lawmaker that actually sat down and read that front to back.
Show me a kid who read the Harry Potter. Eighth graders are reading Harry Potter. If the lawmakers can't read that, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah, then you need new lawmakers.
Okay.
Who can actually read.
All right, well, we'll start with the former Speaker of the House who said we need to pass it to find out what's in it. How about that?
That ain't what I was talking about. You were waving this 2,000-page document in the air.
Well, she was the one that said that we need to pass this 2,000-page document just to find out what's in it. I'm merely bringing it up as part of the discussion.
An aside, that has nothing to do with what the caller called in about.
He brought up Obamacare and said 2,000 pages. I'm just bringing up an additional point to say, all right, 2,000.
He said 2,000 pages. Meaningful words.
He said 2,000 pages was not overwhelming. I'm saying show me a lawmaker that actually read the thing.
Well, then we need new lawmakers.
Yeah.
That's what the problem is. It's not the act, it's the lawmakers that's got the problem.
If people are electing illiterate lawmakers who are incapable of reading, then we've got a quality problem in our lawmaker selection.
Thank
if they
you very
can't
much.
Read.
Thank you very much.
I'm not saying that's what we read. They chose not to read. They have passed it anyway.
They have a part-time job. They work
3 days a week.
2 or 3 days a week. What do you mean they don't have time to read the bills they pass?
I didn't say they didn't have time. I said they chose not to.
But then you need,
chose not to do it and pass it anyway.
Then you need to hire better lawmakers.
Absolutely. I think we're all on board with that. All right. Continue, Jerry.
That's it. That's all I wanted to throw in there, guys.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. All right. We move on to another caller on the line. Welcome, caller. Glad you're with us.
Hi. I'm choosing to remain anonymous because I'm an employee at Borges Medical Center.
Okay.
You made a comment last week, and I didn't have a chance to call in then, that people are losing their jobs because of Obamacare. That might be a small portion of the job loss at Borges Medical Center. I've worked there almost 40 years, and it's mostly because of mismanagement and Ascension Health. There was currently an article in the St. Louis Business Journal, Ascension Health on steroids. They're a huge corporation, and that's what it's about. It's just corporate life in the hospital, just like other corporations. The head honcho is getting rich. They're buying up all these small hospitals, and the little guy is getting laid off, and the patients will be the ones who suffer in the end. I see it every day when I go to work.
So it just happens to be a coincidence that this happened at the same time that Obamacare is taking effect, and it's happening not just here but all over the country.
I know it is. It's happening everywhere.
That's how we spend 2.5 times more on health care than the next most expensive country. We have to work at being inefficient to waste that much money, Jeremy.
Borges Medical Center is one of the top 10 most expensive hospitals in the state of Michigan to utilize their services. I have an article I'd be happy to send to you.
I can tell you the top 10
most expensive hospitals.
I can tell you there is a major employer here in Kalamazoo that is offering employees $1,000 in cash if they'll take elective surgery to Grand Rapids because it saves so much money.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We're talking about hospitals all over the country, not just
this one. I understand that. It's not just this one.
Sit there and say that it's just mismanagement because if you look all over the country, mismanagement is not happening all over the country.
Because hospitals don't have to be cost-effective, Jeremy. They can charge whatever they want. They can charge $35 for a Tylenol because there's no marketplace. Mm-hmm. They get to determine if WKZO could determine the rates for all of our ads without regard to other media that's competing, would we charge the same for our ads? No. We would probably want to make more money. Well, when you take competition out of healthcare and the hospital has to cover the expense of people in their emergency rooms who they're treating but not getting paid for, we have an incredibly inefficient system in this country. And that's what's making employers uncertain. And eventually they won't be able to offer health insurance to any of their employees if we don't get costs of medical care in this country under control.
Thank you, Roger. Exactly. Well, listen, thanks for taking my call. I know it's not just Borges Medical Center, but that's what I live, eat, and breathe every day for the last, like I said, almost 40 years. And I've seen what's happening with my own eyes.
Thanks for your insight.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. And, you know, when it comes down to it, I think you're onto something there a little bit when it comes to, there's not a lot of competition. But I think the answer is not in a bill that forces every American to buy health insurance. Instead, let's get some of this regulation out of the way and let hospitals compete with one another. Let the insurance companies compete with one another. Let's have some serious competition in this instead of just saying, all right, well, let's force everybody to do it just this way.
Jeremy, but what's going to happen is that you will find all the insurance companies move to the state that has the least consumer protections. And then the only insurance you'll be able to get anywhere will be an insurance company from North Dakota. That's why the credit card companies are all in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. The reason all corporations are registered in Maryland is because Maryland doesn't regulate the companies at all.
But here's the thing.
So that means no state can regulate.
If we're competing, then healthcare will be cheaper. there will not be this thing of going, oh, hey, guess what? Healthcare is going up again this year. I mean, we were told under Obamacare it was going down. I'm still waiting on healthcare to go down. In fact, there's an awful lot of people,
Jeremy,
that are seeing it go way up.
No. The trajectory of increases in health expense have gone down dramatically.
The trajectory has gone down? What? Okay, you can sit there and say the trajectory has gone down. Talk to the people whose health insurance has gone way up.
I'm talking
about that.
I'm not talking about those people. If they're dumb enough not to go out and find a better insurance plan, they're on their own. I'm talking about the trajectory of the billions of dollars that we spent. Let me finish my thought, Jeremy.
We're running out of time.
Okay,
that's why.
Okay, well,
finish
then,
quickly.
We need to control expense of medical care in this country if we're going to be competitive with the rest of the world.
Okay, so
we
good,
can't
solid
still
competition.
Spend
market forces.
But
let's make that work.
There's no market forces in the business because hospitals don't compete.
So let them compete with one another. Make it a situation where you don't have a ton of regulations that the federal government has passed over the course of years that don't work. Let it be a competitive situation where insurance companies, where doctors, where hospitals can do all sorts of stuff like that. I think it's a good idea. It's going to do it for the show. Glad you could be with us.
Have a good night, everybody.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.